Morning, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1. Glad you are with us this morning. Jason Sloan is here as well. He's a professor in the Interaction Design and Art program at the Maryland Institute College of Art, where he teaches sound art. He's just released a new album. It's called Corrupted Horizon. And Jason Sloan joins me in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Tom, for having me.
It's good to see you. Now, as you know, and some of our listeners know, in my other life, I'm a musician. And I've played nightclubs and concert halls and opera houses and stuff. Am I a sound artist, too?
Yes. There's, in my definition of sound art, there's structured sound and non-structured sound, but it's all music because it's all frequency and tone. It's just based on our culture and how we're thought to think about music and sound. That's what defines our particular tastes, and based on our culture, that's what informs what we feel becomes aesthetically pleasing and what isn't. So what may be aesthetically pleasing to someone in Western culture may not be aesthetically pleasing to someone in a different culture. So I consider anybody that makes music or sound to be a sound artist, because they're sculpting with sound. It's like representational painting versus non-representational or abstract painting.
So when you self-describe as a sound artist, mm-hmm. what is that? I mean, that has a particular meaning, I would imagine. It has a particular, inference about mm-hmm. about how you approach the creation of sound. Mm-hmm. What is particular about it for you?
I approach, and a lot of times many people that are defined or define themselves as sound artists versus, say, someone that would call themselves a musician, per se. A sound artist would be somebody that would sculpt with sound. They're not necessarily worried about structuring music or writing notes. And sound art can be defined as many different instances. It can be something that's experienced in a gallery within a particular environment that may not be musical notes specifically, but that may evoke a certain type of emotion or feeling. There could be complete absence of light, so you're just immersed in a sound current. That would be something that would be classified as like a sound installation, but that also falls within the genre of that, where it's the entire space is the experience, as opposed to something that would be more for an individual listening. And I approach my work from many of these different angles. I do create structured music, but I also create and work with a lot of sound sculpture, sound installation. I'm just very interested in, painting the world, so to speak. Not to sound cliche, but really just kind of painting with sound. And sometimes I create very representational work, and sometimes very non-representational work.
That's really interesting that you're adopting all of the rhetoric of painting and art. I mean, because you talk about sculpting the sound mm-hmm. or painting with sound. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, because I'll admit sound art is a new term to me. I'd not mm-hmm. heard it before, so this is really interesting. The first cut on your album is called Sunset Without a Dawn. Would you consider this a representational piece or a non-representational? Are you representing a sunset here?
Yes, the album.
Or am I being like too literal about it?
No, I would like to leave, like with a lot of my work, I can define certain things and we'll answer specific questions if people have it, but I don't really like to necessarily blatantly spell things out, because I like people to bring their own interpretation and their own background to inform the work mm-hmm. Without really pigeonholing it. The title of the album was born out of this desire that a lot of people have towards when we have images that may be corrupted. We've all gotten corrupted files online, where a picture comes through and it's like, oh, so we discard it. The same with audio files. We've all heard, digital or MP3 files that something has happened to it in the transference, and it becomes this unwanted thing. And ironically, that's really where the title of the record and a lot of the titles in the songs were kind of born out of. It was sort of
The record's called Corrupted Horizon.
Correct. And the image on the front of the record is a purposely corrupted image of a horizon that I had taken. It was a photograph that I had taken that I went into the source code of the image and started, you know, playing with it and actually corrupting it on purpose.
On 881WYPR, I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass. Jason Sloan is my guest this morning. He's a professor in the Interaction Design and Art Program at MICA here in Baltimore. We're talking about his latest release, an album called Corrupted Horizon. Let's talk, Jason, a little bit more about the context for this music. Mm-hmm. You talk about installations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this music, you design it to be listened to in the dark. Other times it accompanies other images or other things happening in the environment. Are you thinking about those environments as you compose and as you say, sculpt the sound, you know, from the beginning, or is that an add-on afterwards?
When I'm creating a piece or a work or a live set, I think visually. I come from a visual art background. My undergraduate degree is actually in painting, and a lot of technological areas that I teach and work in now really weren't available at that point. Or, you know, we're also very, very new and crude. So I think visually, and mm-hmm. but I've always been interested in music and sound. And as the technology, you know, has become more and more available, you know, I just really started to gravitate towards that. So in the compositional process, I do think visually. You know, I'm always looking around. I'm looking out the window in my studio, or you know, if it's at night and I'm you know creating, I constantly have a graphic score in my head. You know, that something, you know, the track or the sound or the you know the pitch or whatever that I'm playing really starts to evoke these visual images in my head. So that's really where a lot of the pieces start from, is actually from a visual background. I usually a lot of times will have a representation of an image in my head, and that's kind of what creates the work, you know, ultimately.
Because is that what you mean then by representational as opposed to non-representational?
Yes, and those terms, I think, when you apply them to visual art, there's abstract painting, and then there's, you know, a representational work or something that we recognize. You know, it's you know, like an actual face, and we're like, oh, that's, you know, a pretty picture versus like a Pollock, you know. And the same thing, in my definition, can be applied to sound art or music, where experimental music would be something that's more non-representational because it's much more abstracted. And representational is something that would be more structured, and by a lot of people's terms, maybe something that would be more desirable to listen to. It's something more pleasurable.
Oh, okay.
You derive pleasure from it as opposed to something that may require, you know, more thinking or more conceptualism or more thought process behind it.
Because I suppose in like the classical rhetoric, that mm-hmm. might be divided between consonance and dissonance.
Correct.
You know, mm-hmm. and in you know, the 18th century, Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, those guys, they wrote what they referred to as absolute music, as mm-hmm. opposed to programmatic music. Mm-hmm. So as music history evolves a little bit, you know, people like Mendelssohn are then writing things like the Hebrides Overture, meaning it's directly inspired by this place, this image in mm-hmm. Mendelssohn's head, whereas Mozart's writing, you know, Symphony Number 40, you know, which has no extra musical program. So I was thinking maybe representational and non-representational referred to that sort of thing, but evidently not in your
and that's take. Not like a technical thing. I mean, this is more of my own, you know, defining of these particular works, or being able to, because again, I come from a visual background, so oftentimes I think, you know, of sound in a very visual perspective. So that's where that labeling system comes.
And that's great. And it's interesting because I think a lot of your students are probably thinking that way as well. One of the things that I've noticed about a lot of the young artists, the emerging artists, especially those who are just out of school at MICA or any other art places, is that they're media agnostic. They, you know, they don't say I'm a painter, and they don't say I'm a musician or I'm a performing artist. They say I'm an artist and I do all of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and I mean, there was a time, and I think that's wonderful now. You know, I think there was a time where that was a very difficult thing when you did more than one thing, you know, especially back in the 50s and 60s. You know, music belonged in the concert hall, and painting belonged in the gallery, and theater belonged in, you know, in the theater. And it was, you know, when you said that you you did more than one thing. I mean, that's where the whole Fluxus movement was born out of, you know, these artists that became this hybrid artist. They did more than one thing, so they kind of banded together. But fortunately, I think today it is a very acceptable thing. It's like, I'm an artist, and people don't really necessarily, I think, try to pry open, what do you do? They just know you're a creative person.
Yeah. On 88.1 WYPR, this is Marilyn Mooring with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Jason Sloan's here in the studio. We're talking about his new album, Corrupted Horizon, and the new sound art and design program at MICA. So, Jason, what's involved? If I were to enroll as a sound artist major at MICA, what sorts of things am I going to study?
Well, it's not a major yet. It's something that we're currently developing that will be instituted soon. And it's a concentration, which is like a major. And it's located within our department, the Interaction Design and Art Department. And the concentration is not to produce or create students that are going to go into, you know, audio production, but they will have those skills to be able to accomplish that. But it's really creating art with sound, and you know, really considering sound as a creative medium, and as I said, as a sculptural medium.
You know, I noticed that much of the music, because there's one, two, three, four, five, six tracks on the whole thing, and you've got almost an hour of music here, mm-hmm. I suppose. So they're long, involved, very sort of big arc kind of structures. Mm-hmm. And it's very additive. It seems layered. I mean, you start with two or three mm-hmm. elements, and then by the time you're finished, there's considerably more. Mm-hmm. Do you think additively as you're composing? Do you compose this one step at a time, or do you start conceptualizing this with the sort of the finale in mind, you know, the cacophony in mind, mm-hmm. and then work backwards?
I start out additively. I mean, just a simple, straight answer. Things get added one step at a time. I don't read music. I don't know a chord from the, you know, I've always played by ear, and I can harmonize very well. And that's, again, you know, I really apply that sort of painterly aesthetic to how I work. And these tracks on this record actually, in fact, are quite short considering, this is my 13th album, and I started out, a little over a decade ago, and there'd be two tracks on a record and be 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. And
do you perform live too?
I do.
So a typical set would have just like one big piece for 40 minutes?
No, when I perform live, I usually perform anywhere from roughly around 60 to, 70 minutes is a typical set. And because I do have to consider the audience, I try to make it as interesting as possible, and the live sets tend to be more energetic. This particular album, the new album Corrupted Horizon, was actually born out of the live show experience. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those experiences, and this album is kind of a departure. It started with my last record from last year, Hyphens, and this particular album also is very much of a departure because I started out creating very beatless textures and atmospheres, ambient space music, really. And this one, really, they just became a lot more structured.
Well, there's some interesting and wonderful sounds on this sound art piece, so I appreciate your bringing it in. It's always good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Jason Sloan, he's on the faculty at the Maryland Institute College of Art. He teaches sound art. You can find out more information about the new album, Corrupted Horizon, on our website, wypr.org. Just click on the Maryland Morning link. On 88.1 WYPR, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.